Tina's going to make the staff report.
So this is just, this resolution is just a request to set a public hearing.
Do we need a report to do that?
Well, I think because
There was some controversy, I guess.
The staff was offering us three different options, two of which they could move ahead and have a public hearing in June. And the other one, which really seemed not only more complicated, but more suitable to Carborough's needs, would take them more time to research. And, you know, I personally, this ordinance has far-reaching visibility, and I'm in no hurry to rush it for any, you know, for we do not develop ordinances for one entity. So I would really like us to, I mean, please go ahead and give us your presentation, but I'd like at this point to really encourage the board to look at option one, which is staff is leaning more towards option one and thinks that it would better meet our needs, but they could not have it ready for a public hearing in several weeks. Is that correct?
It's actually option three.
Option three, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I got everything right but the numbers, right?
I think you've just provided my introduction.
I was saying, great report. Thank you very much.
So I guess I'll just move on. In summary, the purpose of having this as a presentation rather than just a consent item is because there are implications to changes in the silent ordinance, and we felt that this was more of a policy issue and therefore wanted to seek your direction before moving forward.
You're not done. Go ahead.
I'm interested in hearing a brief description of the three options.
She's done. She paused in a way that fooled me and Danny. Go ahead.
It's pretty much a quick overview. You have a pretty good report in your packet that I think covers the main details. But in short, our commercial sign ordinance provides allocation based on linear street frontage. This was a quick cut and paste to give you a visual sense of kind of the apples and oranges that we're talking about. And there's a 0.5 square footage of sign allotted based on your first 200 linear feet of street frontage, and then you get an even higher percentage based on your street frontage exceeding that 200 linear feet. So in essence, the wider your property, the more signage you get. And traditionally, as you can tell from most of our existing downtown, this system's worked pretty well. You know, we have mainly one and two, maybe in some cases three-story buildings. They often only have one tenant on the first floor, maybe a second on the upper floor, and this approach has worked pretty well. You know, the amendments that came in a response to the Vision 2020 that looked at building up brought this new type of development, kind of the mid-rise, into being. The 300 East Main Street project is really the first, so in a way we're talking about them, but we're also talking more long-term because other projects of this nature are coming. And as you can see, what worked for a relatively low-rise building may in fact not be appropriate for something that may have several tenants, one on top of the other, or in this case may have an interior courtyard or some type of an interior pedestrian road that may not have the direct street frontage that we've considered traditionally for the purposes of your allocation. Staff has looked at this as really three main categories of signage. There's the signage, and again, we're using the East Main Street project as the example because they're first, but this would affect others coming. There's signage for the ground shops or the tenants, the individual tenants that you see as the pedestrian walking down the street. In this case, I've added a second bullet because there would be a second or maybe third, depending on the building, there'd be additional rows of tenants on the inner section facing that inner courtyard or pedestrian area. There would be wall signs, which are the signs that really identify the building, in this case mainly the hotel portion of the project. And there'd also be directional signs, and in some cases directional signs with logos. That's why I've included this picture to give you a sense of what that means. It could just say parking, it could say parking with the brand name of the hotel. You know, it depends on the situation. Staff has proposed Originally, we had three options just this afternoon. A fourth option has emerged, and that's why that's shown in yellow. In short, option one would be to go through the existing sign ordinance and add a little bit here and there, you know, an extra phrase or so forth to speak to some of these topics that we've just spoken to. Probably the big new component for option one would to add something that would speak to a maximum height for signs. Now, it's never really been an issue before because our buildings have been relatively low, but as we look at buildings potentially getting higher, it may be something that we want to think about. Option two would be just to look at this in terms of hotels. You know, perhaps hotels have special needs. Maybe they're the only business that really needs a high wall sign. Maybe they need special consideration. Option three, as Alderman Guest just described, is really looking at this much more comprehensively, perhaps sitting down with our local businesses, talking about needs, really hitting all of these criteria. And then option four, which we just discussed this afternoon, is perhaps to add another new section under the sign ordinance that would essentially allow developers to apply for a modification to their conditional use permit, which would allow them to create a master sign ordinance, or I'm sorry, a master sign plan. Because it would be linked to a CUP, there would still be a public hearing requirement, but it would allow you all to kind of look at each application on a case-by-case basis and consider the special situations involved with those. And if you pursue certainly option three and to a lesser extent the other options, here are some things you might want to keep in mind. These are the types of things you typically consider when you're looking at signage and how to regulate them. One is, again, these individual tenant signs. I've shown you some samples. You can see kind of the projecting two-sided signs on Main Street there. As well as kind of the combined master sign over the for rent door. And then you can see another example of that master plan approach for Carmel Mall. This is a little excerpt that came from a planning advisory service book in the section that speaks to signage. And this talks about taking it a step further in your analysis to really talk about what is your view shed? How do you see the sign? And this is looking at, well, what's the speed limit? Or is the sign going to be something that will be viewed as a pedestrian or in your car? How fast are you driving? How much time do you have to see the sign? Chapel Hill has something similar to this in their ordinance. And again, looking at Chapel Hill as another example, this is the Franklin. You're probably familiar with this. This is an example of a 4-to-5-story building where they have limited their sign to the 2-story or lower level. And their only sign really is this awning sign, and it seems to be adequate. Mm-hmm. Looking at them as another example on the lower left-hand corner, this is their sign to find parking, which is under the building. And their sign that's over the entrance, the actual entrance to the underground parking, is that same size. It's mm-hmm. about 1 foot tall and about 4 feet wide. That's just for comparison purposes. Your procedure tonight is to discuss as appropriate and to consider one of the now four options. Options one, two, and four, we staff believe that we could prepare in time for the June, the last public hearing before your summer recess. Option three, which would be the more comprehensive approach, would likely require more time and a subsequent future public hearing sometime after the break. Should you go with option three, that may be something where you'd want to get local businesses involved as well, as in addition to our regular advisory boards, just to get their input. You know, it's just something you may wish to consider.
I think we would also want downtown neighborhoods involved and not just local businesses. When I saw the sketch, I thought, if you go outside at 2:00 in the morning in Carver and Hampton Inn gets what it is they're looking for, that's what you will see. Is the Hampton Inn sign, and driving in from Wilson Park, that's what you will see. And our town's name is Carborough. Our town's name is not Hampton Inn, and I don't want that to be. So I feel that I would really like to go with option three, and let's flesh this out once and for all. But please, I understand you need to talk to businesses. You also need to talk to the people who live in the town and who built the town.
Okay. let me recognize two people who are signed up just to address us real briefly. Laura Van Sant, mm-hmm. and then Woody Farmer.
Laura Van Sant with Main Street Properties, and I'm also here with Woody Farmer from the Tar Heel Lodging Group to briefly explain sort of why we're here now and why we felt the sign ordinance didn't really address the needs of either 300 East Main or any similar mixed-use projects that might come through. And let me first address the timing. We recognized this early on. We started talking to the town staff about this over a year ago. I really wish we were here at this point about 6 months ago and maybe could have had time to flesh out something more comprehensive. Unfortunately, we're here where we are now today, and as you all know, we're very excited that the hotel and the retail under it, the parking deck, are all under construction. And we need to figure out things like where to run wiring for signs and tell potential tenants what kind of signage they can have and whatnot. So there's some urgency for us, and I don't feel like we came here at the last minute requesting this. We've been trying to work on this for a while. And I do understand that why you might feel it's a little bit of a rush situation to try to come up with a comprehensive plan. Basically, to just explain why we're here, as Tina explained, the sign ordinance is sort of envisioned for street frontage, regular Main Street with some shops facing the street and whatnot. We have a bit of a different situation. As she said, here's Main Street here. We will have retail stores facing the street. We will also have retail bays facing this interior street, which is currently the location of Paget Lane. We don't get any extra signage for that because for that street frontage, only the public street counts. And in addition, we have a hotel and a parking deck that, unlike the Franklin, are not right up on Main Street. We intentionally designed this project to be very pedestrian friendly, to have a similar feel at the street level to the shopping block you might have on the 100 block of Main Street, for example. But because of that, it's a little more difficult if you are trying to drive to get here to locate businesses. They're not all quite as visible. The Franklin Hotel, the front door of the hotel is right there on Franklin Street. The entrance to the parking deck is right there on Franklin Street. In our case, this will be what is there after this first phase is completed. You have two ways to get into the site if you're coming, say, from Chapel Hill. One will be where the new Boyd Street comes out by Domino's over that way, and the other one will be at the existing Lloyd Street light. There's a right in, right out here, but that's it. Once you're on the site, the parking deck entrance will be back here. The hotel lobby entrance will be here. It's just not obvious if you're driving down the street either how to get to the hotel or necessarily if we only have little tiny signs because we can't count all of our street frontage on both sides. It's just going to be really hard for people to locate either how to get to the hotel or to find the businesses. And what we are asking for, we don't think is unreasonable. What we would like is something in the neighborhood of about 24 square feet per sign for each retail business. And that is consistent with signs in Carborough. I just walked around today. On our site, we tell our tenants when they come in, we have a master sign plan somewhere. I actually don't know how much square footage we're allocated. If people ask me, I tell them, you have 24 square feet. I know you're safe with that. Some of them then do several signs and beyond that, but 24 square feet, the new Fleet Feet sign is 24 square feet, this cradle banner. Just eyeballing some of the signs around us, Milltown across the street, that just the round thing alone counts as 20 square feet because it gets counted double because of both sides. If you add in all their other signage, I don't know what the total would be. Acme is about 23 square feet for both of their signs. Southern Rail, one of many signs, is this round one, which would count as about 25 square feet. So that's not a, it's not a, we're not trying to have, you know, clutter up Carborough with signs that aren't already there. We just want to give our retailers a chance to be seen. And then Woody is here and can address a little bit better the hotel needs. And one more thing before he comes up, though, is the point about this notion of Chapel Hill of no signs above the second story. This is the hotel. The front entrance is not at this front corner, which would be kind of a logical place maybe to stick a sign. But if you put a sign there, it's going to confuse people, I think, with the signage that might be for this retail space. They'll have people wandering in all day with their suitcases trying to check into a hotel, and it will really be a coffee shop or something. So the hotel, I think, has their own signage needs. They need people coming in from Chapel Hill, coming from out of town, be able to find the building, and then they need to be able to be directed into the building. As far as the directional signs and whatnot, I think we can easily work something out that's mutually acceptable. We showed some signs above the parking with logos. They don't have to be there. We just need some signs that say hotel parking and public parking. I'll remind you, this is a public deck as well. The entrance to it is not on the street. It's not really easy to figure out how to get in there. I think it's in the interest of y'all's lease for that public parking to also make it simple for people to get in there. So I would request that you take a look at some things, and again, for our needs, on kind of, you know, the sooner the better. And I, again, I'm sorry that we're in this position of sort of asking for a rush job. We did not come to you intending to do that. It's just the way the schedule's turned out. And Woody, I think you can talk about the hotel.
My name's Woody Farmer, and I'm here as a representative of Tar Heel Lodging, the hotel developer. I really want to start out by saying thanks to you and to all of you and your staff. Carrboro's been a good place to do business, and we're very appreciative of that, very supportive and very appreciative of that. And I don't develop a lot of hotels, but I hear stories from horror stories from other places, and that's not been the case here. So we very much appreciate the town's working with us. This is a big project, and we're asking for signage for really three main purposes. One is for safety, and we expect 30 to 40,000 cars arriving at this project per year just in our hotel park, not counting the other shops and businesses. If they just drive in one day and drive out the next, you're talking 60 to 80,000 additional vehicle trips within the one small area of your town. These guests are not going to be local people. They are coming from, we believe, every state and many foreign countries. Hampton Inn is a nationally recognized chain, and so it will draw customer base from a variety of places. These people won't know their way around your town. We believe that the public safety requires that direction be given to the 80,000 cars that are coming and arriving. If you want to help protect your citizens, pedestrians, and otherwise, this is not a negative, this is also very much a positive. You'll have a lot of new customers for your businesses downtown. So the first thing that we've asked for is directional signage. And that comes in two ways. One is where to turn to get into the parking deck and hotel. It doesn't have to have our name on it. It's more of just to direct people, here's public parking, and here's a hotel. And we have the example, I think, in here had two examples of that, none of which are set in stone. They were just ideas. The first was something like this at the two entrance locations, one on Boyd Street and one other on Lloyd Street, which are the two places you'll be able to make a left turn into these streets. Doesn't have to be a lamp post. It could be something very different. But this is a public parking deck. You want people to get in and out of it. The second type of signage along those lines that we have encouraged, and you have seen it with logo, but it does not have to have a logo on either side. But this is a parking sign to let people know this is where the parking facility is. And as Laura said, this is not real evident from this project because you've got to drive down Boyd Street, you have to drive down Paget Lane, or you have to work your way through the project to find the parking deck. It's not like the Franklin right up on the main street. It requires a little navigation. We think people can do it, but they certainly want to know where they're going. So we want signs that help with that. The three signs that we've asked for is one at the end of the Boyd Street exit where we'd have a parking sign, the Boyd Street entrance. Also, we have a small hotel sign there with the Hampton Inn logo down at the street level so that you look at the deck and you see it. We had also requested an upper level sign facing Weaver Park. Talked to my partners in We're not as wedded to that because we believe it'll eventually be blocked by the rest of the project as it's built up. And instead could just put a small sign down in the traffic circle right in front of our lobby entrance so people could know whichever way they turn, there's the hotel. The sign that seems to be generating a lot of controversy is the one Hampton Inn and Suites sign. And I want you to understand, now this is block lettering that's with lit behind it, and the lettering lights up, but nothing else. And we believe that due to the fact that this is very difficult to find your way here from Chapel Hill, we're not in the main commercial district of Chapel Hill, we're going to ask people to know where the hotel is and be able to take a left onto Boyd Street to go into the parking deck. That's about the first time they're going to know there's a hotel in this town. Now, we believe that's important. There's been some suggestion that, oh, Chapel Hill's got a great plan. Okay, so I went down and talked to Kay Perlstein. She said, we have a stinking plan. It's out of date. It's crummy, and I'd love to amend it. In fact, I'd love to work with Carver and rewrite all of our plans and have a joint plan. She said, it'll take a while. She said, ours is antiquated. The fact that we don't have high signage on the higher buildings is leading to all kinds of problems identifying how to get to them. She gave me an example, just one. This is her volunteering this.
Excuse me. I missed who you're referring
this
to.
This is the sign administrator for the town of Chapel Hill, Kay Perlstein.
Okay.
And so she says her sign ordinance that she's administered for 20 years is terrible, so don't be adopting it. Particularly, she pointed out two things with high-rise signs. They've kept their signs a two-story limit. For example, the Marriott on Highway 54, there's a three-story tree barrier in front of it. Nobody can find the hotel.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you focus on Carborough, please?
My point is this. I've heard cited right in this material, Chapel Hill ordinance, and the Chapel Hill administrator says it stinks. Okay? So just understand that. That's where I was coming from. She said that concept of not having signage at an appropriate level for important buildings was antiquated. Okay. And your sign ordinance doesn't prohibit it right now.
You know, your comment that we'll be getting 80,000 new cars a year, that really wouldn't have been a selling point when you were going after the permit. We've been very, very accommodating to this project. I don't know where you're from, but Carborough is a unique small town that values its small town flavor. So this is a huge new project for us and a lot to adapt to. And I understand the hotel's need to have a sign high up that people can come from all over, but we have other needs to consider other than the hotel's needs. We have the needs of the rest of the community. So I think the board really needs to take a very long look at this, and I would encourage us to go with option three with understanding that we have been very accommodating to the hotel.
I am from a small town. If I remember one of the first hearings I came to, you made the same comment. Okay, at that time, your ordinance had no height limitation. That people would work with us. We've already started a hotel. Yes, we'll build it and they'll come if they can find it. Okay?
All right. I think we've
but in our favor of any option that you want, we're here to work with you, but we need an understanding that we're a national franchise hotel. They have requirements. We're trying to accommodate them as well.
Curious, you mentioned public safety. What was the public safety connection?
Adequate directional signage so people know how to get in and out of the streets.
And stuff like that.
For example, if they don't turn in the Boyd Street entrance and they try to turn at Paget Lane, it's a no left turn.
All right.
So you've got cars roaming all around the place trying to figure out how to get into the project.
Got it.
Thanks, Woody. Okay. All right. You had a question for staff.
It probably was in here, but how long would it take to research option three? I was just wondering about that. Because it sounds like at the end of June, option one and two and four could be explored, but how long are we talking for option three, which we're probably most interested in?
complicated.
It would probably take a couple of months.
So by the end of the summer?
Perhaps.
Fall, let's say.
I think so.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't asking with an expectation.
Planning staff is happier about fall than summer.
People could go with the ordinance that we now have, and if it changes, they can change.
Dan, yes, I apologize.
Yes, that's okay. So, given that any option that we send to public hearing is going to require the staff effort to prepare the draft ordinance for the public hearing, and given that there are four options on the table, it seems we might want to talk a little bit about winnowing them down. And with that in mind, the fact of the matter is that this is a unique situation for us, and it's a circumstance that we don't know when or if it will arise again. So I'm not sure that I see the necessity for any broadly written ordinance or ordinance change. Mm-hmm. And I happen to like the idea that lets an applicant have a CUP modification for a specific project where they come in and address their signage needs, which is pretty much what he was just attempting to do here. Obviously, it would be more formal. And that way, the change we need to make to the land use ordinance is much simpler. And then the task we would take in terms of this hotel would be very focused, and you know, perhaps it would be a minimal amount of work that would not need to be repeated again for at least for some years, since we know no hotel's coming anytime soon. So.
Jackie.
But you would include going before advisory boards and having a public hearing so the public could have their input.
Absolutely.
On this and not just
well, it
businesses.
Well, it's set up in the presentation that it would require a public hearing.
An advisory board.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my suggestion, that we actually have the public hearing on option four and prepare.
Okay, so that's a motion for option four. Give directions to option four. Wait, well, okay, don't quarter. Nobody's even seconded it yet. Don't worry, we're not going to move. Is that all right? All those in favor, Mindy?
I just had a question, which really doesn't have so much to do with this project, but. You know, one of the things that keeps coming back to us from local business folks are the cyber businesses that do not have any appreciable storefront. And so even though, you know, if we're looking at these options, one of the concerns that folks in business currently have, the, you know, the startups and the cyber businesses, is being able to have some space to advertise because presently they don't. So I'm just wondering,
you mean in other words, because
option four wouldn't cover that. I know.
In other words, because the ordinance doesn't allow you to advertise off-site.
Exactly.
At all now.
So the reason I'm raising this now is because if we're going to be discussing signage at some other point, I would like that to be included. These are folks who've been here for several years, and they've been waiting for this to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And so just not that it. I mean, if this is option four, that's fine with me, but at some point,
Randy,
as we're
could you encourage them to come in and talk to us about their issues? Then maybe
they did and they have, and
there's somebody working
here?
On that. There's
Chris,
an intern working
Chris.
On that.
Addressing this board or
yeah, or? Oh yeah, they came and they spoke to the when they met with the Economic Sustainability Commission. They brought it up.
Oh, but
and
I'm saying petition. He's talking about petitioning this board.
No,
I think
I don't think
yeah.
I don't
yeah
think
so we can as a body understand what those
issues
kind
of refer
are,
that
and then give the staff direction okay. on follow up.
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
All right. Lydia, and then.
Yeah, my question with option four was, what would be our time frame if we went with option four?
I think they're saying they're going to come back to us in June. Is that right?
June 26th.
That was my understanding. As Dan indicated, it's not terribly complicated. The essence of it is you present a plan, you like it or you don't like it. I mean, it's going to be it'll be a little more complicated. There'll be some standards and something like that. But I mean, it's sort of akin to what you've done with some other provisions where there's some architectural standards, but they can present an alternative, and that's basically what you'd be talking about doing. And in terms of the time frame for it, the ordinance could be done that by the 26th, is that right?
26th.
By the 26th, it's also possible, for one to entertain it, that they could apply, present their sign plan. If your board adopted the ordinance, they could also present the sign plan that same evening if they wanted to, if you wanted to accelerate that consideration.
That doesn't really seem workable because the issues Jackie raised about advisory board review and citizen notice, that we wouldn't want to do on, you know, if it's uncertain that we're going to adopt the ordinance, then, you know.
That's fine. I
mean, yeah, so that would probably be in.
This is something
I think we'll be looking at September.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Very good. So it's been moved and seconded that we request the staff to pursue option four and come back to us on June 20, whatever, 6th. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, not passing unanimously. Are there any other matters from the town staff?
Tina, thanks for your work on that.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Manager, anything else from the staff?
No, thank you.
Right, anything else from board members? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed. Matter passed unanimously.